So when I've sung once in Royal David City, if you'd asked me, where's that? I would have said, oh, Jerusalem. That's how what I would have said, Jerusalem. Because why would I think that? Because that's where David lived, and that was his city. And so let's have a little look. Into Samuel, this is why I would think of it as David's city. In 2 Samuel 5, verse 6 and 7, it talks where David, the Jebusites, they had the city of Jerusalem, and David and his armies came up to fight against it, and they thought they'd never be defeated, the Jebusites, because they were in that fortified city, but David captured it. So it was David captured that city, and when you captured the city, it was like you could name it after yourself. Do you see what I mean? So Jerusalem is actually David's city in that sense. But yet in Luke 2 verse 4 it says Joseph went up from Galilee out of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Ah, that's interesting. Bethlehem. What do you know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. It's a good name, isn't it? House of bread. So you can put all these things together. So David, so the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because, and we'll look at this a bit later, he was of the house and lineage of David. So here we are, we've got two cities of David, have we? Well, we have actually, yeah. Another verse goes, there, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. So that's, and that's talking about Bethlehem. So there are two city of Davids. You can get different references to the city of David. So Jerusalem is the city of David. So that's what I would have said, but not really thinking about it, because I know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So I didn't really think too much about it. Bethlehem is quite close to Jerusalem. So I wouldn't have really thought about it too much. I just think, oh, it's a carol and I'll just sing it. Yeah. In Samuel 17 verse 12 it says, now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem Judah whose name was Jesse. So that's where David is from. So David was actually born in Bethlehem, and that's where he grew up, in Bethlehem. So you see the connections. It was like Madeline read last week, and she said, hey, everything's connecting up, and that's what the Bible often shows, the connecting up of things when it comes to Jesus. You see the dots getting joined together. So David was born and bred in Bethlehem. And so that's where the lineage comes from. So Bethlehem is where David was born. Bethlehem is where Jesus was born. And Bethlehem is the city of David, but so is Jerusalem, the city of David. But when we sing about this, we're singing about Bethlehem. Yeah? Does that make sense, or you're more confused?
Yeah, I'm more confused.
You're more confused?
No, it's all right.
So there we go. And that's what I would have, how I would have, if you had just asked me, I'd have said, oh yeah, Jerusalem, without really thinking about it. If I didn't think about it. But actually, it is actually talking about Bethlehem, because it's the lineage comes from as well. So I'll leave that and we'll come up later. We're going to sing. But what I didn't say is the writer of it, Mrs. C.F. Alexander, also wrote All Things Bright and Beautiful. Does that ring a bell? And there is a green hill. So there you go. That's the same writer of this song.
So she wrote Creation, Christmas, and Easter in those three hymns. So once in royal David, he was a king. So it's king, once in King David's city, there was a shed, is what we're essentially singing, where Jesus was born. So let's sing one of these verses. Oh, this hurts me. He was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles like us he knew. Well, yeah, in that, he was a baby. You know, Jesus wasn't, he came as a baby in the extraordinariness of that. But, and he feeleth for our sadness. He lived as a man, so he experienced what we experience. But you do have to struggle with these sometimes.
Okay, yeah, that's what it was.
So let's stand and sing, Once in Royal David. Now, we did have a bit of a chuckle over the dinner table one night at this one, because it rather reminds you of a Daz advert or something, doesn't it?
What song are we singing now?
When like stars, his children crowned, all in white, shall wait around. What do you envisage with that? Caroline's looking at me very blank. Stain remover, yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's just us.
I just think of a Daz advert, you know, or Persil or whatever you use. But Dave, what's all that about?
Well, it says in James, he will be robed in righteousness in white. So, in a sense, but I don't know about the waiting around, it's like as if you go to heaven and then there's nothing to do. But actually, the bit about dressed in white is, it is actually stain removal, because Jesus took away all our imperfections, our sin, and we are robed in his righteousness, which is spotless. So we're robed with him. So that's where they got it from. But when you look at it, it looks a little bit, what's that, you know, what is that? But actually, it's the place of perfection that we will be found because of Jesus. So I don't know the waiting around.
So we've got Bethlehem Mark 2 now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Oh, yeah, I forgot my candles. Oh, better do my candles. Oh, there we go. Oh, we've caught on to it by Christmas. Yeah, whoever. Yeah, we haven't got any. Depriva and Preston, I don't know whether they'll want to. Do you want to light some candles? Do you want to light some fires? Come on in. Yeah? Yeah, go on, Leo. Can you supervise, Ed? Oh, all right, Debbie. So we're on to 4 weeks. And has the Caribbean truck arrived this week? No. Okay. No.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's been and gone on week one. No, that's all right. Oh, shall we? Shall we?
We're going to be bold. Yeah, we're going to light the fifth one, because we won't be in here on Christmas Day. It would just sit there being gold forever. And yeah, exactly. So why not do it today?
No, it'd get damaged. Yeah. Do you want to light one, Sid? Go on, there's 5 to light.
Two City of Davids, but the one we're singing about is Bethlehem. So I'm doing Bethlehem continued. Now, this is interesting. When I look Bethlehem up, guess what? There's 2 Bethlehems. Which Bethlehem is it? And interestingly, where Jesus probably grew up was near the one that we're not singing about. But the one where he was born is near Jerusalem. So there's one Bethlehem in Judea, just south of Jerusalem, maybe 6 miles south of Jerusalem. And the other Bethlehem is up north, near in the area of like Galilee, near Nazareth. So Nazareth, we've heard of Nazareth, haven't we? So like Jesus the Nazarene, they knew him from that area. But he had that's just a sort of red herring to us in some respects in this song. So he grew up in Galilee, but that's not what we're singing about. But there were two, just to throw it out there. And the other, the Bethlehem north, I don't know, I kind of guessed it was about 50 miles north of Jerusalem. But the Bethlehem where Jesus was born is one near Jerusalem, just south, on the road from Jerusalem to Egypt. Now that was convenient, wasn't it? Because what did Jesus have to do? He had to run for his life. Well, he was a baby, so he didn't actually run, but he was picked up by mum and dad and bundled up, and they had to flee quickly, and they were right near the motorway, the highway to Egypt, so they just could get on that road and head down to Egypt. And that's what happened to Jesus. So Jesus actually spent a little bit of time, just like I did in Burundi. I had to flee. Well, I was a baby and I was carried into another country. So was Jesus. But this Bethlehem that we're looking at, the one near Jerusalem, the special one, we read about it all the way back in Genesis 35, verse 16. It might come up. Then they moved on from Bethel while they were still some distance from Ephrath. Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. So we're going right back to the early days of the Bible, and that place called Ephrath, that is the Bethlehem. But it kind of, the name slightly changes over time, because it's Bethlehem of Ephrath, that's how they called it. So we see right back Rachel, right back at the beginning of the Bible, well, beginning of the Jews, that the family tree, and we see Bethlehem creeping up there. Then we jump to, so then that was Ephrath. In Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you see the connection? Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you, this is a prophecy, yeah? Out of you, Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking of old, ancient times, before the creation. It's fantastic prophecy. And when the wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king, where would you go if you were looking for a newborn king? You went to the palace. So they went to Buckingham Palace. Well, not quite, but they went to the palace of their area looking for the newborn king. Herod, you could say, was an interloper, one who was put on the throne by the Romans, goes, oh my word, as a king, that's going to ruin my empire. I need to kill him. Herod said, where is the Holy One going to be born? His helpers around him, his priests and that, said, look at Micah. But you, Bethlehem, they said, oh, Bethlehem, it's going to be in Bethlehem. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. They look back in the Bible, rummage through it, and they said, the prophecy says that the Christ, the Saviour, the Holy One, will be born in Bethlehem. So then Herod said to the wise men who knew nothing about all this, he'll be born in Bethlehem. Come find him and let me know where he is. Because he didn't know where in Bethlehem, so you've got a town. They're going to have to... So the wise men had to go off and find him. But they knew where he was born because of the prophecy. See? Bethlehem. So that's Micah. Now then we go to Samuel. 1 Samuel 17 verse 12. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite, so we get that word again, named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. So this is where we see not only, well, we see Jesus was born there, but we see David, the greatest king in their time, a hero, the Jews' hero, was also born in that village or that town. Yeah? And there's the... And when I looked at all this up, it was. I quite enjoyed all this because you see the connection all the way through. And then Luke 2 verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Do you see a family tree? So that Bethlehem ties them all together, because all the lineage of the royalty has a connection with Bethlehem. Jumping right back, we read the first verse, talked about Rachel. So Rachel died, and she was, this is Genesis 35, 19 and 20. So Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem, and Jacob set up a pillar upon her grave. So there was a whole history around Bethlehem of the ancient times for them. So it's a very, very special place, wasn't it? That's how I see it. The whole history of them was so tied up in Bethlehem. It's amazing. So Bethlehem. Do you know the beautiful story in the Bible of Ruth? That's where it's all based. Well, part of it's based anyway. The love story is based in Bethlehem. Which I suppose makes sense, because she's an ancestor of King David, Ruth. So Bethlehem is where the story of Ruth is set. That is why David was from there. His ancestor, Bethlehem, is where David was anointed as king. So that's in 1 Samuel 16, 4 and 13. David was anointed king of Bethlehem. So we see a lot of importance with Bethlehem. It was because of Jesus' ancestry to King David that Joseph and Mary, they had to return for the Roman census. They had to enroll where their ancestry came from, their town of origin. And that's what made them go back there. Joseph and Mary weren't now living there, but they had to go and find. So it'd be like you looking at where your family tree came from. And, I mean, you might be born and bred in Crawley, but you might look at your grandparents. They tended to come from an area. So then you would have to travel. So if you look back a few generations, let's say Caroline looked back in a family tree and found that the family tree, they originated from Norwich. She would have to travel back to Norwich and fill in and sign up there that's where she's from, you see, even though you're living in Crawley. So that's what they had to do. And I'm not sure what song we're doing now.
So, shall we stand and sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, now that you've got so much more in your mind about Bethlehem?
I think I'm just saying a little bit about the song we've just sung, Wild Shepherd. In there it says of David's line. So I've kind of mentioned that a few times. the lineage of Jesus. Now, I heard a story once, I think I was at camp, and it said that what missionaries once went to, I think it was somewhere in Africa, and, you know, when they were trying to preach to the local people, you try different things to reach people with the message of Jesus. But what really hit the nail on the head was reading the lineage. When they read the lineage, see, some people can trace their ancestors back a few generations. When they looked at the lineage of Jesus, it blew them over. They said, wow, this is amazing. We don't know anyone who's got such a good lineage. So they accepted him as Lord and Saviour, as King of Kings, because of his lineage. And I thought, in the Bible, there's two lineages. One in Matthew and one in Luke. See, we have two. Has anyone here done a family tree? How far back have you gone, Caroline? Great. About four generations, is that? See, about four generations. How far back have you gone? Yeah, it's. And how far back has she gone? Yeah. All right. But that's the war. So that's. See, it's. Right, so I don't know how many, if we've gone over 300 years, that's quite an achievement, isn't it? Kevin's gone back a long way. How far have you gone back?
I think 17-something.
17-something, that's not bad.
On the father's side.
Wow. So it's quite hard, actually. You can look into it. I know my sister's gone back quite a way, but I can't remember how far back. When you write it, you put your name there, and then you do this tree, don't you? So, the son of Joseph, the son of Jacob, the son of Matan, the son of Eleazar, the son of Eliud, the son of Akim, the son of Zadok, son of Azor, Eliakim, I'm just going to, Abiud. Don't really read these through when you're reading your Bible. You kind of probably go, I'll skip. Sometimes they're interesting because you have little comments next to them. Zerubbabel, Shaltiel, Jeconiah. And it says there, that's when they went into exile. See, you have a little comment. They went into exile at that point. So there's your family tree. And some of those names that you had just there may have been in exile, some of them. Josiah, Amon, Manasseh. If you know who Manasseh was. A wicked man, a king. Hezekiah, Ahaz, Jotham, Uzziah, Joram, Jehoshaphat, Asa, Abijah, Rehoboam, Solomon. You've heard of Solomon? David. So we go all the way back to that's his family tree. Do you know when I was reading this? I've sung the songs and I know this, but it kind of struck me that here's Jesus. He's royalty, because all those names are sons of royalty. So who's heir to the throne right now?
Charles.
Who's next heir to the throne?
William.
Yeah. That's how it runs. Here's Jesus, heir to the throne. The right. Heir to the throne, Jesus. But it's been lost in going into exile. That lineage, they've kind of lost their king. But actually, Jesus had a right to the throne. It's interesting, isn't it? And actually, the guy who was on the throne was a puppet king. And Jesus should have been. So when he had on his cross, Jesus, King of the Jews, that was a recognition of his true status. It wasn't actually just... They were potentially mocking. But actually, they stuck with the sign. But actually, he was in line to the throne. David, Jesse, Obed, Boaz. I put Boaz... I went up as far as Boaz with it. Because that's where Ruth comes into it. See? So, there's the lineage. So, when they had to go... So that's one lineage. Now, I've got another one here in Luke. Now, this is slightly different. It goes... I didn't bring my Bible up. Basically goes, Jesus, who was the son of Joseph, so they thought. See? It's put, that's in the Bible, so they thought. That kind of thing. And then it goes, the lineage goes, Heli, Mathat, Levi. And so it's all the names... Well, some of the names are the same because, you know, there's a good chance that you might get a Joseph repeated on... There must have been lots... It's like now, you know, you could be a David. There could be lots of Davids in your my history or Edward or stuff like that, see. So some names crop up, but they're not necessarily the same person. But the list is different. Why do you think the list might be different? I can only speculate here. I'm speculating that this line that's different is up Mary's line. So Mary was in the lineage too. See? And Joseph was in the lineage. So for one, so here it is. So the lineage of this other lineage goes all the way back. And that lineage all goes all the way back to God. The first one goes back as far as Abraham. The next one goes all the way back to David, Adam, and God. It's amazing, isn't it? And I think here we have a double lineage that they separate, go all the way different, and come back together for Mary and Joseph. Jesus was a double lineage royalty. How's that? Quite impressive that he has a double claim to the throne. One, through Joseph, you could say as adopted son. So by legal right, he has a right to the throne. Through Mary as a birthright to the throne. So however you want to look at it, Jesus has a right to the throne. And that's really what I... So when it says his line and lineage, it's really struck me this year because I've looked all that up. That how he had like a double claim to the throne. So, and what's the next song? Oh, I've got to do a little bit on We Three Kings. Sorry, guys. I've got another one. We Three Kings. So, We Three Kings. We sing that a lot, yeah? Christmas time. Okay, we probably all know this. Were they kings? Were there three? It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that there were three, and it doesn't even call them kings. So let's look at that. In the Western Church, because there were three gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh, three gifts, there must be three people. But it doesn't necessarily happen like that, because there could have been a collection of three offerings. So what happens is, in the Western Church, that means what grew up in Europe, we have three. In the Eastern Church, they have 12. But there you go. It doesn't really matter because it doesn't tell us in the Bible that there were three and it doesn't tell us there were 12. People just work things out and have tradition. Were they kings? They weren't kings. They were called magi. Where do you get the word magician from? Magi. What were they? Well, this is my take on this. They were from... the Orient. We sing We Three Kings from Orient. Where's the Orient? Now, have you heard of the Orient Express? Where does that go? Where did that go from to? Paris to Istanbul, I think, originally. Constantinople. That went from... to Turkey. See, now why was it called the Orient Express? Because anything sort of eastern and slightly different was called the Orient. So Turkey was a bit different. It was the Orient. Persia, Iran was different. That would have been the Orient. China was a bit different. And they're all east of here. That's what it is. They all go east of here. So the Orient is the East, what we call the East. So, Viv's going to do us a
geography lesson.
£10?
No, we're not auctioning it. No, no. It's been in my family line for many years. Many wrong names of countries on it. We're here, right? We often look at maps flat, don't we? Because it's a bit easier to read a book that's
flat rather than
flat. This isn't that easy. But here's us. Ooh, here. Here is where's Israel and all that kind of Middle East area here. And the Magi came from east of here.
East.
Right? So it could we don't right. really know where.
Well, I think let me go on with this. Magi came from Persia, Iran. Because for a number of things, when we read about Daniel actually rescues the Magi, the stargazers and magicians, by telling the dream. He saves them from execution. The kings of those time would have stargazers, magicians, wise men to help them. Sometimes, you know, they'd look at the stars. When should we go into battle? They'd look at the stars. Oh, they'd say, something's happening. Let's go to battle. Or, oh, no, there's something happening there. Let's not go to battle. They had all this kind of, all the people around him. And these magi would have been part of that. Daniel actually rescued the magi, if you read the story, because he told the dream. The magicians couldn't tell the dream, so they were going to be executed. And he rescues them. I looked this up, and if you look at the religion of Zoroaster, that would have been the religion of pre-Islam, pre-Christian, would have been Zoroaster and that kind of thing in the Middle East, and particularly like Persia. And so they could have been along that line. But I also believe, this is what I think, it doesn't say in the Bible, this is what I think, that Daniel was a wise man who lived in the times of the great kings of Persia, who actually became head and chief of the Magi. Right? Ooh, that's a shocker. Well, they were stargazers and wise men. He was the wisest of the wise. Does that make sense? So he would have been... He was head, probably head eunuch. He would have been in charge of all of them. It doesn't fit tidy with our nice Christian thinking, but he would have been in charge of the whole empire, barring the king. He was in charge of the wise men. He would have told them, one day, a king of kings is going to be born in Israel who will save the world. These wise men would have been looking out one day in the stars for the king of kings to be born. I think it came from Daniel originally, but they followed it through. Because otherwise, randomly looking at stars to find a great king that you would travel hundreds of miles to worship, would you do that? But there was something special about this king that they travelled to see. So I think they were from Persia, probably of a tradition back from Daniel, but a part of the magicians of the Persian Empire. So
let's sing about the kings. It's like we're singing through the story, aren't we? So, we three kings. Let's take our seats. And Tamsin has a poem plus, plus, plus for us to listen to. Or even Tasman.
It's called The Gift. And so it came to be, the Son of God became a son of man, birthed in dirt and disgrace, all for his beloved human race. Fully human, fully God, bearing the image of man, the yes and amen, Jesus Emmanuel, the Word of God, a perfect baby, baby growing into a perfect sinless man. He who would walk the red road of suffering, gladly bearing our sin's disgrace, nailed to a tree, his blood of love flowing freely down. Yes, this is all part of your redemption plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3, verse 16. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 14. Romans 6, verse 22. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just have another thoughts that came to me as I was writing. I'd like to read this as well. Heaven's gate is open. Will you come and enter in? Come and unwrap the gift of promise. All you who have lost their way, sitting imprisoned in unforgiveness and hate, will you come, those who are hopeless and helpless, the unloved, the lonely, the rejected, the dejected, crushed and broken-hearted may be, all those afflicted, suffering silently, for he knows your pain. Come and put your hope and trust in him, the one who has made a way. So will you put away your fear, wipe away your tears. Your tears of sorrow will soon pass away. Lay down your old life and rise in your new life as you put your hope and trust in him. Behold, he stands at your door. Will you open your heart and let him in? Heaven's gate is open. Will you come and enter in?
Tasmin wrote that this week for us. That's really good, isn't it? But when I hear that and the words of that song, The Precious Gift, it's lovely for me. It's lovely. But I also, you just think of all the people that you know that don't yet know. And I just thought, let's all just, we can all pray for those. Let's just bring them to our Heavenly Father. We'll all just pray out loud together. And I, you know your neighbours, your friends, your family members. And Lord Jesus, we want our family, those that we come into contact with, to know you as the precious gift, the one who came, the one of whom the angel shouted, he's here.